You know what's weird? People really want to buy new houses, but developers are not building enough. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. It's a week when we learned that Americans are hungry to fill out new mortgage applications, but at the same time, developers have curtailed the building of new construction. And there are some controversial forces at work here. On Thursdays, we'd like to get a briefing from Diane Swonk, the chief economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
Help me understand this real estate market. The developers aren't breaking ground at the level that you'd expect them to, but I think people would like to buy new houses and apartments.
We really see that. The gap between mortgage applications and construction activity is just widening. What we're seeing is mortgage applications surge this week, this most recent week, because all those fence sitters got afraid, ooh, the Fed might raise interest rates, so they ran into the market. At the same time, and they're running about 20% above a year ago, we're seeing housing starts slow. And frankly, single-family starts in a rut. And even on the multifamily side, we lost a little ground the most recent month.
All right, so this kind of split that you see in the market, but why aren't developers then just getting out there and building if there's this demand?
One of the biggest problems we're seeing out there is that we don't have enough immigrant labor to build a lot of single-family homes that we did in the past. Builders are really screaming about this in the more expensive markets like California. I was just out there. The other problem is the quality of existing family homes that we have in the market. Move-in ready homes, bidding wars every single time. But unlike other cycles, people who stayed in their homes and didn't get foreclosed, many of them couldn't afford to maintain their homes like they once did. And so those are almost teardowns now. So there really is a shortage of supply, which is pushing up rents and prices of homes fairly rapidly.
I hadn't considered that before. In other words, there may be some housing stock out there, but it could be dilapidated.
Exactly. And this is one of the biggest problems. It's not foreclosed upon. It's not underwater anymore. Someone's lived in it a long time, but they just weren't able to maintain it in the way we once did because the cycle was so hard. Maybe they had more people move into the house, which also was more wear and tear, but on the other side of it, they weren't able to redo the roof or redo the electricity or maintain certain parts of it that, as we know, I know my house, it's an 1891 house. It seems like it's more of a money pit than anything else sometimes.
Diane Swonk at Mesirow Financial, thank you for this.
Thank you.
Starting today, stock in the swipe your credit card while on the fly company called Square will trade publicly. It's a unicorn, the rare initial stock offering worth more than $1 billion. Now, interestingly, Square seems to have shrunk in value as it moved from private to public, Marketplace's Annie Baxter explains.
Square offers a number of different financial products, including those little devices merchants attach to smartphones to process payments. Kathleen Smith is with Renaissance Capital, which manages portfolios of newly public companies. She says at first, there was a lot of interest in Square's initial public offering, or IPO.
However, investors have questions about the business model. They like Square's revenue and growth, but there's some uncertainty about the path to profitability.
The company Match Group, which owns online dating services like Match.com and Tinder, also raised less than it expected. Smith says in both cases, investors are worried about taking on too much risk, even though both companies are attractive.
So these IPOs that are happening of the highly funded venture-backed companies look like they're going to be done at discounts to their private valuations.
Smith says that's bad news for private investors, but good news for public investors who are able to buy shares more cheaply. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
For the first time in the U.S., a team of doctors at the Cleveland Clinic is preparing to transplant a uterus. Word is, in a few months, surgeons will use the uterus of a deceased donor and transplant it into an infertile woman with the hope the recipient could then bear a child. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson reports.
The transplant will have to be combined with in vitro fertilization, and the uterus will likely have to be removed after the woman carries a child or two.
Right now, it sounds extreme or outlandish.
Denise Grady is a medical reporter with the New York Times who first covered this story.
But so did some of the things that we take for granted now. In the very early days of in vitro fertilization, people didn't think it was going to take off, and it really did.
She says this might eventually become another tool to treat infertility in women whose uterus has been damaged or removed, or for women who were born without one.
One in 4,500 baby girls are born without a uterus. It's rare, but it's more than I would have expected.
From the 1970s onward, there's been increasing efforts to allow women to have children the way they want, says Alta Shero, a professor of law and bioethics at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She thinks this process is rather extreme compared to, say, adoption or using a surrogate, though the latter has had its own ethical issues.
Certainly surrogacy has been problematic where it's been used in ways that are exploitative, where it has been used to entice women who might actually not want to do this but feel compelled to do it because their circumstances are so extreme.
Likely because they need the money. Here, Shero says the risk is limited to the pregnant woman herself and her child. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
And before we go, the Lucara Diamond Mining Company of Vancouver, Canada claims it has unearthed the biggest diamond in more than a century, 1,111 carats, gem quality, found in Botswana. Looking at the photo of this thing, it's about the size of a tangerine or maybe a slider from White Castle. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.